Good morning, church. It's a beautiful morning. Let's stand and sing and worship to our God. You are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the songs that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, you are Lord. All creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. Amen. Please be seated. That's a tough song to sing in the first two. Well, for everyone that showed up last week for Friends and Family Day, which is probably everyone in this room, thank y'all for coming out. It was a blast. Thank you for the Johnson family for catering, meticulous catering. If you need some catering, maybe give them some business. They're amazing. And be on the lookout for the chili cook-off upcoming. I know a lot of you are competitors and you want to win. Pete, good luck. I know you don't think there's any more competition now that Stephen Walker left, but Chris says he has his eye on you, so we'll see. All right, let's continue worship after we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us another day, breathing life into us, Lord, giving us breath, giving us the ability to spread your message. Thank you for giving us a voice to honor you with our lips, honor you with our singing and our thoughts. Let us be cognizant of others around us as we go throughout the day, knowing that we should be the beacon in our community, Lord, a beacon of hope, a beacon of light to bring your word to the Lord. Let's be your hands, let's be your feet, and let our, please bless the words sung today and the words spoken today, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. We got to stand up for this one. Let's stand back up. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. voice was not surviving that. I apologize. Please be seated. Song before communion. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forever be.
Good morning. One of these days, you're going to hear that Mark Plants has died. But don't believe it. I've just changed addresses. Let's all be present with God. And in that perspective, and we all should have that belief, that perspective, that life is short, and that this life is temporary. And in fact, eternity has already begun. Your soul is already here. It just determines as to where and what address you're going to spend eternity. 2 Corinthians, let me read this. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2 through 6 reads, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed," that means our body. I want to read that again. "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord." You know, we've all heard that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. But just keep in mind that this life truly is temporary. The pain and suffering of this world truly is temporary. And God, you know, when Jesus came down and communicated to us, the God is infinite. And we are finite. The people who have limits will never be able to understand the infinite. So to communicate with us, Jesus, God, had to become one of us. And what did he communicate to us by becoming one of us? Is love. And he told us to love others as God loves us. So this week, I want you all to think about, as we take communion, and communion is just a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice. So to communicate with us, God sent his Son. You know, again, the finite cannot just communicate with the infinite, cannot communicate with the infinite. He had to become one of us. You know, I can't go down and communicate with an ant. I'd have to become an ant. That's exactly what God did. So let's think about this week, one, that this life, this body, this tent that we live in. I like the term tent because it is temporary. It's movable. And this life, you know, Jesus never said, you know, follow your heart. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, follow your gut. This life that we live, we're going to have problems. Everyone in this room, and you've heard me say this before, is either there's only three types of people in this room. You fit into one category. Either you're coming out of a storm, you're going into a storm, or you're in the middle of a storm. That's life. But it is just temporary. So we're here for communion. In the back when you came in, you should have two emblems, the bread and the juice. So if you would now, let's pray over the bread. And this is a remembrance for God's sacrifices. And as we pray over the bread, I want you to think about this coming week, about how we can show the love of Christ to others. And ask, in whatever circumstances that we are faced in, whether that's with a coworker, with a child, with your wife, ask yourself, what does love require? And you know, Jesus kind of made it that simple for us, is that, you know, there's 629 laws in the Old Testament, but Jesus really boiled it down to that, to every situation before we respond. And we're doing that so often in this life, in this tent, we're responding. Ask yourself, what does love require? Let's do that. Let's pray with me over the bread. Father, we thank you for sacrifices. Thank you for your body. We thank you that you came to earth to save our sins. Please be with us at your desires in our heart, and let us keep in mind what love requires this week. You also have the juice. Again, at the Last Supper, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And he took the juice. He says, this is my blood that I shed for you. And again, at the time, I'm not even sure the disciples understood what love required as he sat at the table and explained that to them. You know, they were just a day before, they're arguing about who's going to be first in Jesus's kingdom. They're talking about, you know, who's going to have the seat at his right hand and left hand. They don't get it. And they're talking to the guy, the Lord, that's about to go through an excruciating death. And he knows it. He knows what love required, and it was for his death and crucifixion and sacrifice. So again, let's think this week about what love requires. Pray with me over the juice. Father, I thank you for your sacrifice. Please keep us and remind us of your sacrifices, and help us humbly, lovingly respond, either in forgiveness, perhaps tough love, Father. In each of our responses, let's keep you at the forefront of our minds and our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And each week, we also have an offering. We don't pass the plate, but the offering is in the back. You can also give online. Of course, you know, none of our money is ours, right? It's we're just money managers. We're not money owners. We just are stewards of God's money. And God loves a cheerful giver, and I promise you, you can't outgive God. So pray with me over the offering. Father, please help this church and this community. Help us use the assets that we raise to help the local community and the Christians worldwide to spread your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Alrighty, if you are age 2 to 7th grade, there it is. We have a class for you, so start heading out back that way. Just follow other little people is what I'd say. Not yet, Amos. All right. And if you notice, looking around, you might feel like you're closer to your neighbor, closer to the people in front and behind you. That's because we had a wedding in this room yesterday. And so it was actually packed. Madison, now Dareberry, and Matthew Dareberry were wed here. So it was a blessed time to witness that. But also, I like this. It's kind of, I think we need to keep this for all the new people we're getting. And then finally, Steve Kinney is not here. He's actually at his daughter's wedding that I think happened yesterday. And so we want to be thinking of them, but Brandon will be coming up and giving us a word here after this song. So if y'all don't mind standing and singing one song, and then I'll let y'all actually greet one another, because I think that's a good tradition, and then I'll let Brandon come and speak. We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Be unto your name. While y'all are standing, please just say hello to everyone.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, there we go. Mark talked about this temple a little bit. I like that. I always like to think of it as a tent too. It's this flesh, and the spirit. You know, they're so individual that we forget what's going on as a disciple, as a Christian. For instance, in the flesh, I don't like doing this. I don't like studying. I don't like being nervous. I don't like all the pressure. But the spirit that dwells in me won't allow me not to speak, to proclaim the gospel, right? I can't do it. I can run from it. I can fight it. But when he calls you, when he's telling you to do this or do whatever in your life for the kingdom, you can't run. It's going to eat at you until something happens, right? Something gives, right? But anyway, that was just a thought. I just wanted to mention that. That's what we deal with. But good morning. I'm excited to be here. And I wish it was full. I told Jessica, I said, she's like, you nervous? I was like, I'd rather be 3,000 people in here than just 20. But I'm still thankful 20's here, or however many's here, right? But I want to talk about, the last time I talked about the wisdom of God, and I talked about his authority, and I changed what I was going to talk about several times this week, and I wanted to talk about the image of God, right, or the image of our Creator. We bear that image. He designed us that way. In Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. He said in 27, after that, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. In Colossians, Paul writes, he said, he is the image of the invisible God. He's talking about Jesus. He said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. So as we walk with God over time, we begin to see his image and likeness in us, right? We get to see this more and more as we interact in our relationships with our loved ones and our friends and families. And you think, well, what do you mean, Brandon? Well, for me over time, as I interact with my children, I start seeing how I request things from them, or all these things I'm dealing with, I start seeing how God deals with me. And then I think, well, where did I get that from, right? Where did that come from? Where did those, when I'm talking about things like discipline, forgiveness, mercy, grace, authority, respect, honor, trust, faithfulness, love, all these things that we talk on a daily basis with our friends and our families, this is all directly relational to God's relationship with us, right? We're made in his image, in his likeness. And, we grow that way, right? How many of you as parents have done things with your children and discipline or whatever it was the case, and you thought, wow, I just now learned something about myself, and that's just the way he works. But when we all follow God's ways, these relationships are stronger, they're healthier. But when we do things on our own, right, we do our things our way, these relationships, when they're not in truth, these relationships suffer. They sometimes don't work well, sometimes don't work at all, do they? We have a lot of problems. And thus life, right? Storm, we're in a storm, we're either coming out or going in. It's just life. Some of the observations that I've even made as a parent, I just want to talk about this a little bit. So we love our condition, we love our children. I'm just using children, for instance. It can be family, friends, whatever, whoever. You don't have to have children to experience this. But we love our children unconditionally. We would physically give up our life, physically, to save our children, right? We provide them with food, shelter, clothing. We educate them, warn them of the dangers of life so that they may have a long and healthy life, we discipline with love and hope that they change their ways and they learn to do better. We're always willing to forgive them when they come to us and admit that it was wrong and that they messed up. And And, you know, we want them to be honest, respectful. We want them to be responsible, to seek good counsel, you know, make good decisions. How many times was Jessica told Chase, make good decisions? Anybody else said that to their children? And we want them to treat others kindly. All these things, you know, we're teaching them and we want for them. But there's also behaviors that we dislike and we hate. We just, you know, you just despise these things at some point, you know, when we don't like for our children to lie to others, to lie to us, to be disrespectful, hateful, even physically violent, some you know, or acting ashamed of us and not wanting our company. Ain't that a slap in the face when they get a little older and they're like, Dad, you're not cool, you know. And I know they, and as teenage years, I get that. But, you know, being ungrateful for everything that they, you know, they've been given, right? Don't that just kind of get to you sometimes and then you start thinking, wow, man, am I ungrateful? But being arrogant, you know, not needing our help and being disobedient. I've heard through the years that when it came to an inheritance, there's been times where I've heard that a parent or parents would sometimes take children out of the will. Maybe even give it to someone that was outside of the family because their children were so miserably just through life, just hated their parents and just totally didn't want anything to do with them and just was very, just terrible children, right? They didn't love their parents, and that happens. But I'm just saying, I've heard that. I've heard that happen where they didn't love them, and at the end, others who loved them, they gave their inheritance to. Does that sound familiar? A little bit? How we interact within our relationships are to an image of the relationship that God has with his children, with his creation. So what does God want out of this relationship with us as the creator, as our God? And we talk about this all the time, to love him, to love others, and to proclaim his unfailing love and mercy to others, right? In Deuteronomy, he was telling us in Deuteronomy, he was telling them, you know, that they had to, he said, you shall teach them to your children. He's talking about the commandments that he had given them. He said, you shall teach them when you're walking with them, when you're lying down with them, when you rise in the morning, when you're sitting in your houses diligently to remind them, you know, of these things that I'm telling you. One of our greatest weaknesses in this flesh is our memory. As Mark was talking about, when we take the cup, Jesus knew that we're quick to forget the goodness of God. That's one of our greatest weaknesses as in this flesh, and God knows that. And so what's that bring us to? So we will never truly be able to love our Creator if we don't fear and respect him, his authority, his majesty, his power, and our need for his mercy, right? And if we, through the generations, continue to slowly forget that, well, you see what happens, and you know what happens, and that's why we continually talk about the word of the Lord. We continually remind one another who he is and what we're doing here and what he's done for us, right? And when we show grace to our children in our approaches of discipline and all the things that we're doing with them to try to raise them upright, we show them the mercy and the grace that they need to not break their spirits and to bring them into being a functional adult who loves the Lord. Our hope is that they see that is how God also works with us, and that's where that comes from, is because we're made in his image. So in Acts 2:36, Peter says, I'm not sure why I put that there. I did this late last night. I'm going to back up here. That's going to throw me off. That's jumping the gun. So we talk about the relationship, and what I want to talk about now is discipleship is a teacher-student process. We understand that, right? We understand that Christianity as a religion is a taught religion, and it can be taught incorrectly. And we talked about that last time. I talked about getting our wisdom from God and God alone. But yet, while we study with one another, we still listen, and we test things, and we do that, but we seek wisdom from Him. So in John 21, Jesus and Peter are having, this is at the end of John. John and Peter are talking, and this is where Peter is questioned by Jesus, and he says, "Do you love me, John?" And he says, this was after the breakfast, they finished breakfast, and he said, "Do you love me more than these?" He's talking about the other disciples and everyone there, and he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Well, feed my lambs." And then he goes on to say that again. He asked him second time if he loves him, and he says, "Feed my sheep." And he goes on a third time and does it as well. And we all know that Peter had denied him three times before, and we all tend to believe that that's was his point to tell Peter that if you love me, I need you to do this. So don't pass up the significance of what Jesus is telling Peter here. He's telling him to feed his sheep. And we have to remember that Jesus had already explained to the disciples that when he would leave, that he would send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would bring them into all truth, bring them into the truth of all the things that Jesus had taught them, had, you know, while they walked together. And this truth that they were going to be given and memory, they couldn't remember these things. He said, he will bring you into remembrance of all these things that I've taught you. And what he was telling Peter was, I need you to teach my sheep. I need you. The future disciples of this church to begin was going to need some food. They're going to need some food because they're going to be infants and spiritually immature. And they needed someone to watch out for them. Now, this is just my opinion, but I think one of the tasks of the Holy Spirit initially was to get this process started. Jesus needed to overcome the learning curve. He had already explained all these things, but the Holy Spirit was to come in and get this thing going, to give them all truth. They didn't have the New Testament, right? They didn't have what we have at that time to study and to get into the Word. The Word was coming through the Holy Spirit, through the disciples. So how does this apply to us now? Well, Jesus gave us the mission, right? Matthew 28:19. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Does that sound familiar? He had commanded them a lot of things and taught them a lot of things over his few years with them. But he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. But he wanted Peter to feed the sheep. So the significance of this is what I really want to hit home here. There's two points here, and it sounds simple, but it's really critical. Really, 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 really critical to our walk with God. First, you need to feed yourself with the Word of God. You have to, if you are able to read, and you're able to hear and talk and read and comprehend, you have to do this. It's a cesspool of all wicked things out there in this world. We're inundated with everything all the time, and we have to feed ourselves the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. I am the life. He said, I am the life, the Word. He is the Word of God, right? We know this. He is the Word. He is the life. You have to, in essence, eat that Word. You have to eat on that. That has to be your fuel, your food, through your study, through your prayer, through your meditation, walking with God, right? You have to do this. We all do. Why do we study? Why do we need to feed on the Word of God? Well, we're in a warfare, right? I've already heard that word this morning. before. We're in spiritual warfare. There are things going on. And we need the armor of God, right? We need all the things that He provides in His Word through Christ to overcome these things. I can show you where overcome is written in the New Testament several times. Overcome, overcome, overcome. And while He has overcome Satan, and He has overcome, and He has done the things for us, we still have to work out our salvation. We still have to do something. We still have to stay in the Word and follow Him and listen to Him and do our best. Because the wisdom of man is written down all over this place. All these books, they pull out the scriptures, but everybody's got their thoughts and their words of wisdom. But these words, spiritual, or the wisdom of men in all the things written in this world will one day burn, and they will not exist anymore. But only the true Word of God will endure forever. It will not change. It will not go anywhere. There's false teaching everywhere. You know this. Maybe you don't. Maybe some of us, you know. Sometimes it's by ignorance. Sometimes it's men teach doctrines of men, traditions of men as doctrine. That happens. Sometimes it's the lack of the Holy Spirit in people because they're out preaching or teaching, and honestly, they may not even have the Holy Spirit because they've tried to get into the sheepfold another way, like Jesus talks about. He said, many will try to come in a different way, but they won't come through me. They won't do what I've asked of them. They won't listen to me. He's not going to pour out the Holy Spirit on a person who's not listening to Him, who's trying to get in a different way, who claims to have something that He hasn't provided. But if we don't fill ourselves with the Word of God, then we're filling ourselves with something, right? Something. So be careful what that something is, because we all have heard the term trash in, trash out. We've heard all these things, and we study a little bit, and we grow a little bit, and we feel good about ourselves, and then I'll go over here now. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get into this, and then, oh man, I'm really getting wore out with the world. I think I'm going to go over here and get into the Word a little bit and build myself up. We all do that. But we should see by now that we need to stay in it, and that it's not good to keep going back and back and forth and back and forth. And we grow as we do that, and we see the pitfalls of that. In Colossians 2:8, Paul said, he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." 2 Timothy, he told him, and he was going out to preach, he said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." That's another reason why we study. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, he also tells us that all scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, right? That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Everything that you do, if you're out doing it on your own and you're trying to do it your way, or you're not in the Word of God and you're not following the ways of God, they'll be good, but will it be complete? Will God be able to work with those things? Will He be able to continue taking you in the direction He needs to? But the more important part of this is the reason you feed yourself is that if you feed yourself the Word of God, then you'll be able to mature, to grow, and to what? Feed others. That's all, you know, I've told my children, even Jessica, in the last year or so, that I have no other purposes, I feel like, anymore in my life than to just feed my children and her and whoever's around me to just, like, what else am I going to do? I mean, we got to work, we got to do things. But my children need physical food. They need good physical food, right, to survive. If I feed them sugar all the time, which they like, you know, it's going to hurt them, right? And, but in order to do that, in order to feed them the Word of God, I need to be in the Word of God myself. And that in essence is critical. Everyone has people in their lives that are ready to hear the good news of Christ. You know, they're there. They're around you at some point in time. We have to be ready for those opportunities. We have to be able to give an account for the hope that's in us, right? We're not told that when we're asked questions that, wait a minute, I got to go ask so and so and let them tell me what to tell you. That's a red flag. If you don't understand why you have the hope you do in Christ, start asking questions now. Start reading. Start talking about it. He'll give it to you. That's why we said, James said, ask, and it will be given to you. Ask for this wisdom, and he'll give it to you. And I'm not saying you guys are doing that. I'm just saying I see that a lot out there of people depending on, you know, the scholars and the pastoral type people and all the stuff. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying people have tended to do that. And the same Spirit that dwells in me is the same Spirit that raised Jesus, same Spirit that dwells in you. And don't underestimate him. He will teach you what you need to know. But when I think of opportunities, I think of Philip. When in Acts, when he's an angel, it says an angel of the Lord came to Philip and told him to go to a certain place down near Gaza, because God knew that there was this eunuch coming through, right? He was coming through. He held all the money of the Ethiopian queen, and he was coming there to worship, and God knew that he was interested, and he was seeking the kingdom. And he was actually, at that time, after he got closer, it says the Spirit led Philip to go to the chariot. This was an opportunity, you know, and the Spirit led him to that. He was prepared. He knew what to talk about. And the eunuch was reading something in Isaiah that was talking about Jesus, but he didn't know that at the time. So he asked Philip. Well, Philip asked him, do you know what you're reading? And he said, well, no, not unless somebody shows me. Again, it's a taught religion, right? It's a teacher-student process. And so he goes up and he starts to speak, it says, about Jesus. He says he preaches Jesus. That's it. It just says that. He just preached Jesus to him. But then they come to water. And it says, well, here's water, Philip. What hinders me to be baptized? Well, I know that he just didn't tell the eunuch after he read that, that said, oh, we just need to dunk you over in this water over here and you'll be good to go. You know, the baptismal, it takes care of everything. It's just the way it works. That's what does it. That's not what he talked about. I'm sure he talked about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I'm sure he talked about that. He talked about all of the riches that were going to be had in Christ by the repentance of the eunuch. Because the eunuch, I'm sure he told him that the eunuch that was, you're full of sin. You have to come to Christ and do this because you can't pay your own debt. And he paid it for you. And he's talked about all these things. And probably ended up on the fact that Jesus, because of the cross and because of all these things, has been given the authority over all things in this world. And the authority to raise you in the end. And probably explain to him that Jesus requires you to be submersed, to be baptized into this water. It's an act of submission. We're burying the old man. We're burying that old man and we're rising anew into a new life with Christ. That's what we're doing. We're being placed into his possession, into his authority now because we have done that. That's what that is. And when he came to the water, he said, well, let me back up for just a second. And he said, what hinders me to be baptized? It's actually moved out of here in the ESV. And in the King James, it's written. But for some reason in the ESV, they put it down as a footnote. But he says, yeah, you can be baptized for one condition. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the requirement to get that whole thing going, right? That's all you need to know. That's all I knew. When I was baptized, I just knew that Jesus was the guy. He had all control over everything, and he was going to either make or break me. and that I wanted eternal life. That's all I knew at that time. And that's all you need to know at that time to come to Christ. But after that, then, you know, that's why we have all this other scripture to tell us to assemble together, teach one another, grow, learn all the rest of the stuff after the fact. It's just a process, right? That's all it is. It's the same process that we go through with our own children, teaching them, raising them up in the admonition of the Lord, right? So, that invitation that was to the eunuch that day is the same invitation that is every day to anyone. At least until their last breath. It's always available. It's always there. Back to Colossians 1:9, though, I want to say a word before I finish. I liked this. I just ran across this morning when I was already in chapter 15, when I was talking about how Jesus was the image of the invisible God. Before this, Paul's talking to the Colossians, and he's reminding them that I hear about your faith in Christ, and he's excited. He loves it that they have heard the message, they've heard the word, and they're all obeying the gospel. But he gets down to in verse 9, and he says, I pray for you, you know. And he said, what I'm asking for is that in my prayers, he said, I ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's get rid of where that came from. That came out of nowhere. Sometimes I just love the word. I love to hear it. So, hopefully I fed you a little bit this morning. And the 2 points is to take out of this is feed yourself. Feed yourself on the word of the Lord. Ask him to pour out his spirit on you, and he will. And in order to do that, you know, when you do that, then that's to feed everyone else around you. You have to be fed to feed, right? And that's the main thing. And that if anyone here wants to come to, hasn't obeyed the gospel, or you need prayers and need anything from the congregation, just please come down as we sing the song of invitation.
Please stand.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
I want to invite Tom and Winnell and Tom McNeely and Donna to come up. Last month, we put Tom McNeely's name before the congregation for him to be considered to serve as an elder, and everything that all reports that I've ever heard was that's fantastic. You know, all great things. I think everybody knows Tom and Donna and their hearts, and so Tom is willing to serve as an elder, and I am encouraged by him and thankful for him and his kindness and his leadership. In a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to come forward, and we'll say a prayer for Tom and Donna. But before I do, I was just going to read a scripture. This is in James chapter 3. I'm just going to read 13 through the end of the chapter in verse 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly and spiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And as I read this scripture, I can't help but think of the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And I think those words are definitely descriptive of Tom and Donna. And obviously, they've already served this congregation for years, but we're very thankful that you're willing to serve in this capacity. So I'll ask anyone who wants to come forward, and we'll pray around Tom and Donna at this time, if you want to come forward and gather around him. And while you're doing that, I am going to thank Brandon for the message this morning. I, for one, feel very blessed and appreciative for your willingness to get up and speak this morning, and so a great reminder. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the time that we've had to come together to study your word, to fellowship with other Christians, to sing songs of praise to you. And Father, we're thankful for Brandon and his willingness to get up and speak this morning. We're thankful for the wisdom of the words that he spoke. And we just pray that we can prioritize our lives in a way that allows us to put you first and to feed ourselves. Because as Brandon pointed out, we're going to fill ourselves with something, and we need to make a mindful and wise decision about what we feed ourselves daily. Father, we want to come together now as a congregation. We're thankful for Tom and Donna. We're thankful for their Christian lives, for the humility, for their service, and for Tom's willingness to serve as an elder here at Kanawha City. We pray that you bless him with wisdom and help him to help guide us and lead us and to come closer to you and to bring others to Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.